sitting high above it all for months at a time, it turns out, is no escape from the savagery in the human relationship with nature. Author Philip Connor's Field Notes from a Wilderness Lookout, Fire Season, coming up after all the headlines.
You're listening to The Takeaway from Public Radio International and WNYC in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning. Celeste Headlee here with John Hockenberry. Let's take a look at our headlines now at 47 minutes after the hour. A government shutdown could happen Friday. There are barely 3 days left for Democrats and Republicans to reach some kind of budget agreement. If that happens, the government shuts down, national parks and museums would close, the IRS could stop issuing refund checks, troops in Iraq and Afghanistan could get 1 week's pay instead of two, and new Medicare applicants could be turned away. We're asking you, who do you think is to blame if a shutdown happens? Listener Marlene says, I recently received a 23-cent refund from Netflix when they shut down for a day. What can I expect from the government per day? Good question. Weigh in yourself at thetakeaway.org. Now let's get to the headlines. For the first time, Congress has repealed part of that controversial health care reform law. The Senate voted to overturn the 1099 provision of the law, which tightens business income reporting requirements. And the Democratic National Committee has a new chair. Florida Congresswoman Deborah Wasserman Schultz is the first woman to hold that position. The Obama administration says in recent months, the Taliban insurgency has gained strength along Pakistan's border with Afghanistan. A new report from the White House has both praise and criticism for Pakistan's military, saying Pakistani forces have cleared insurgents from some, but not all, of the border areas. The trial of Silvio Berlusconi officially began today in Milan. The Italian prime minister is charged with paying for sex with an underage prostitute and then trying to use his influence to cover it up. Berlusconi's trial was adjourned after only 7 minutes. The trial will resume on May 31st. And a team of mountaineers has left Kathmandu for Mount Everest on an expedition to clear trash from the world's highest mountain. The climbers plan to bring down 11,000 pounds of garbage that's been left behind by thousands of people. They'll be paid around 65 cents per pound of trash removed. You're listening to The Takeaway. You can follow us on Twitter at The Takeaway.
Well, think more in terms of crickets than the sound that you're hearing right now. Philip Connors, good morning.
Good morning.
Philip, before I introduce you to our listeners, what does it look like, that first wisp of smoke that you see out across the forest that you're looking at from your tower?
I always liken it to a little finger or feather of smoke, very thin and wispy, just sort of rising above the tree line.
Well, it's Philip Connor's job, and you would expect that if you spend every day between April and August in a 55-foot tower, a 7-by-7-foot enclosed platform, for 8 hours a day, the tower is in the Gila National Forest of New Mexico, you might get a book out of that, wouldn't you expect, Philip Connors?
Yeah, especially if you take notes for about 1,000 days over most of a decade doing that job.
Well, the notes are compiled in a beautiful elegiac book reminiscent of Walden Pond. Fire Season, it's called, Field Notes from a Wilderness Lookout. Philip Connors joins us now from Minneapolis, Minnesota. You're firmly on the ground at this point this morning, correct?
Yes, I am. On the 11th floor, actually, of the Marquette Hotel. So if something happens below me, I'll shout it out.
We got the right guy for the job here. You know, you refer to this in the beginning of your book, that the idea of being one of these wilderness lookouts, a fire watcher in a tower in a national forest, is an archaic profession. But you also describe that what you observed during your period in the 55-foot tower was a fundamentally new kind of relationship between the Forest Service and the managers of the wilderness and the forest itself. Instead of putting out fires exclusively, something else is going on, and you got to witness it. Explain.
Yeah, when I first came to the Gila National Forest in 2002, I was sort of still under the sway of the propaganda of Smokey Bear, which, of course, told us that only you can prevent forest fires, and that all forest fires were damaging, if not terrible. And what I discovered in the Gila was forest officials who recognized that that particular landscape was a fire-adapted ecosystem. It was a very arid place on the edge of the desert, received tens of thousands of lightning strikes every summer, and had always burned until about, 100 years ago, when every burn was promptly suppressed. And that had sort of warped the ecosystem, and fire officials sort of realized that fire was as much a creative as a destructive force, and that in certain cases, fires should be allowed to burn.
And you watched many of those fires burn during your time there. One, at least that you describe, the size of the territory of Washington, D.C., that you were to faithfully report on, and the Forest Service deciding that to let it burn was the better part of valor, or at least the better part of environmentalism. What would it be like for me if I was suddenly dropped into your lookout tower? What would surprise me? I'm tempted to say it's a really quiet place where everything's beautiful, but it's much different than that.
Well, it is that, but it's also in a functioning wilderness area where every day predators and prey are doing their ancient work. So I've had encounters with black bears and tarantula hawks and all sorts of interesting creatures going about their business, and often their business is hunting and eating other creatures. So, yes, it is up above the tree line in my little glass-walled perch, very quiet and calm much of the time. But down in the forest below, lots of interesting, almost savage things are playing out.
Well, tell me about the tarantula hawks.
Yeah, they're a sort of wasp, actually. And I kicked a log one summer, just sort of testing it for firewood for my own purposes, and underneath this log were these sort of blue-black bodied insects with iridescent gold-colored wings. And I didn't know what they were at first. So I did a little research on them and discovered that they are a sort of wasp that stings and paralyzes a tarantula and uses the tarantula as a host for its eggs.
I mean, that's just unbelievably brutal. I mean, the idea that, it's an ugly wasp that hangs out waiting for an ugly, hairy spider to kill and then lay its eggs in the spider's body itself. We're talking with Philip Connors, author of Fire Season, Field Notes from a Wilderness Lookout, among the details he observed during... How long did you spend in the Gila National Forest?
Nine summers in total, and about an average of 80 to 100 days each summer.
What have you gained as a writer and an observer, and what have you lost as a person from spending all that time alone?
Interesting that you should ask what I've lost. I think what I've lost to some extent is a bit of materialism, a bit of angst, a bit of worry just about the day-to-day things of life. And I think what I've gained is an appreciation for irony and complexity. Like I mentioned before, with fires, I came thinking all fires were bad, and now I understand a little bit more about fire's role in a healthy ecosystem. And there are many such examples of things I thought I knew that I sort of unlearned in a way.
Philip Connors, a government shutdown doesn't worry you, I guess is what you're saying.
A government shutdown would not be good for my summer job prospects, but I would take it in stride.
Philip Connors, you can hear how he takes it all in stride. He's the author of Fire Season, Field Notes from a Wilderness Lookout, 9 Summers in the Gila National Forest of New Mexico. Philip, thanks so much.